Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
At verse 18, we're toward the end of the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal said, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. You ever felt like that? Make me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said, I'm glad when God just contradicts us sometimes. The father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. I want to preach to you for just a few moments this afternoon. When God proves you wrong, when God proves you wrong, let's pray together. Lord, we love you and thank you today. Lord, you're so good to us. Your mercy is just beyond our comprehension. Hallelujah, but we're so glad we have experienced it. Today, Lord, let us be ready to receive this word in our heart. Let it find good ground. Let our ears be ready to hear what the Spirit is saying. Lord, let us be ready, God, to receive and be open to this precious life-giving word of God today. Lord, let it change us and challenge us, make us better. Lord, let it move us further in our walk with you, God. We're going to praise you for it today, God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap and a shout of praise this morning? Do you still believe God is able? Do you still believe God can do anything? Praise the Lord. You can be seated. God bless you in Jesus' name. When God proves you wrong, you know, there's a scripture, Proverbs 14 and 12 says that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Sometimes it seems right to write yourself off. They were here at 10 o'clock and saying, this sounds very familiar. It's following the same line, but sometimes it seems like the right thing to just say, God's done with me. Sometimes it seems right to just be less than what God wants us to be. But sometimes God will prove you wrong. Now, we love to be right. I know some people that they can't be wrong. You know them. Everybody's got one. But we love to be right. And it's not just wanting to be a know-it-all or because of my ego. I just don't like to be wrong. I'm not trying. I don't want to be boastful about it or anything. I just hate to get stuff wrong. I don't want to do things wrong. Do you? No, but the fact is that we often do things wrong. I strive to be right. Our walk with God is always constraining us to do what's right. We want to be right with God, especially. And we love it when God proves us right. There ain't nothing like praying for a situation and telling somebody God's going to do this and God comes through. Man, shout and jump and kick and get all the chill bumps and talk in tongues and just have, because you know God just proved himself really that he would be faithful to his word. We love it when God proves us right. You know, in the scripture, he would prove his men of God right. It said, he would let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. If he said it, it was going to happen. It was going to happen. He would prove him right over and over. But think about Moses. Nobody in Pharaoh's eyes. Even God did not impress Pharaoh. He said, who is this Lord that I should let you go? He wasn't impressed with Moses as God. Pharaoh thought he was a god. And now Moses starts telling him, let my people go. And he warns Pharaoh again and again and again, but Pharaoh would never listen. And God would always prove Moses to be right. And Israel was delivered just as Moses said they would be. And so we tell people who we are. We tell people what we believe. And then they laugh at us and make fun of us and mock us until God proves us right. We pray and God answers. We have people that we love come. We bring them to church. We invite them to church. And they're like, man, I've never felt anything like this. This is just like what you were saying. God proves you right. We tell them about being filled with the Holy Ghost. And the next thing you know, your best friend from high school that you used to run wild with is right beside you on the pew or down in the altar with you. And he's getting the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. And you're going, told you so. God proves them right. You start telling them about their sins can be washed away in the name of Jesus and baptized in his name. And they're like, I don't know if I need all that. And they come in and conviction gets their heart and they fall in an altar of repentance. And next thing you know, they're going, I want to get baptized. And they come out of the water and you go, congratulations, I told you so. God proves us right. Because once you taste and see, you will see that the Lord is good. Yeah, God will always prove us right on that point. God proves us right and then he gives us that boldness and confidence to just do the things that he wants us to do. But as wonderful as that is to see for others that God has proven us right, one of the greatest miracles that we ever experience, in my opinion, I'll just say that, is when God proves us wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we are our own worst enemy. We are constantly downing ourselves, doubting ourselves, discouraging ourselves. Yeah? Come on. We look in the mirror and we talk about ourselves. Look at you. You're pathetic. You're disgusting. Look at your hair. You can't do anything. You don't ever talk yourself down looking at you. Wait till you get older. And you look in that mirror and go, who is that looking back? No. Sometimes we're just too hard on ourselves. I quoted the scripture in the last service that I said in my haste that I am cut off before his eyes. Sometimes we're so quick to make that judgment. We step in the place of God and judge ourselves and condemn ourselves when God is simply trying to extend mercy. But many times we are like this prodigal. We have made mistakes. We walked away from this wonderful life of living with the Father. We wasted the inheritance that our Father has given us. And we say, as the prodigal said, I am no more worthy to be. Have you done that? There was a time when I would sing, or a time when I would play, or a time when I would preach, or I would give Bible studies, or I would testify, but I went through a rough patch, and I'm not worthy to do that anymore. I'm not worthy to pray with people anymore. I'm not really worthy to talk to people about the goodness of God anymore. I'm not worthy to be your son anymore. But the gifts and calling are without repentance. The scripture says that we have received the spirit of adoption and we cry, Abba, Father. We are his children, whether we be obedient or disobedient, but we are still his children. We're good at putting the labels on ourselves and we decide for God how we ought to be dealt with. It's time for you and I to step out of his shoes and let God be God and us be who we're supposed to be. Stop deciding for God what your punishment ought to be, what your judgment ought to be, and let God shower you with His mercy and with His grace so that you can be what He wants you to be. Just go ahead and let God prove you wrong. Kind of quiet, maybe it's hitting home. I know what it's like to feel like I can't do anything right. I know what it's like to feel like a failure. I know what it's like to feel like I've messed up. I know it. We've all been there. But what I do know is God's mercy is greater than anything I can comprehend. His love is an everlasting love. And I thank God for that mercy that's new every morning. It's by His mercies that we are not consumed. I'm glad to know today. I'm not saying, well, then I'll just go out and, you know what, I'm just going to go crazy this weekend because God's mercy. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when I'm doing my best, when I think there is a way that seemeth right, when I think I'm doing the right thing, but I found out this has done nothing but kill my walk with God, that I still serve the resurrection and the life. I'm glad that when I come before Him with all my hang-ups and habits, that He says I can take care of that. When the world has done its best to destroy me, when it has wasted me, when I've wasted my stuff, when my gift seems like it's gone, that God is still waiting there to restore me. When I come back and say, God, just let me come sit in the corner. And He goes, nope, can't do that because I gave you this, I gave you that. And you are my son. You're not a reject. You're not a throwaway. You're not an outcast. You ain't on the wrong side of the tracks. You're blood-bought, spirit-filled, washed, sanctified, justified. Come on, somebody. Beloved, right now, are we the sons and daughters of God? That's one of my favorite scriptures. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now, whatever your now is, you're still His son. Whatever your now is, you're still His child. Whatever your now is, He still loves you and He still got plans for you. And right now you might be feeling like I'm just going to walk away, but I'm telling you, don't do that. God's got a better option. Where was the prodigal going to go? Back to the hog pen? He was just going to die there, but he went back to the Father's house. But you got to go back right. I'm glad when God proves me wrong. I don't want to refuse His grace and His mercy that He's so ready to give. The Scripture says, while we were yet sinners, He died for us. Greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. Let me tell you, God loves you and you can't change it. God loves you and you can't do nothing to make Him not love you. You say, oh no, God, He might be not like what you're doing, but He's going to always love you. He died for us. There's no greater love than that. And for you, stop trying to take away or take back things that Jesus took away from us on the cross. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, the Scripture says that He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which were contrary to us. He took it out of the way and He nailed it to His cross. All the things that were against us, He died for that. He died to remove the label from your life. He died so you wouldn't have to live as a failure. He died so you wouldn't have to live as an addict. He died so you wouldn't have to live as a injured, hurt, reject kind of person. He died so you could have life and life more abundantly. He died so He could restore you. He died so He could make everything new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And friend, I'm glad today that old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. There's still nothing more exciting than preaching the message of hope that Jesus Christ brings. That no matter where He might find you and no matter where you might find yourself, He is able to save to the uttermost. He is able to restore you. He is able to deliver you. He is able to give you back what the world has taken away. He can still do it. I love it when God proves us wrong. It's one of the greatest themes in the story of the prodigal son. I'll never forget reading that one day in, in, and just stopping on that point. He was so ready to just go back and be something that the Father never intended him to be. Father, I'm just going to go home. I'll repent. I'll be humble. And I'll just be a little old servant because I'm not worthy to be your son. Friend, you've got my DNA. You got no choice. Without the Spirit of Christ, we're none of his, but we've got the Spirit. We got that spiritual DNA. I can't come back saying, I'm not worthy to be your son anymore. Can't change that. You've got my Spirit in you. My Spirit resides in you, and that's the Spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Abba, Father. You've been baptized into one body by one Spirit. You can't change that. But we're so dead set on being right, we're going to be right even if it destroys us. I said in that other service, quit trying to be a martyr in the house of the Lord. I'm wrong, and I'm just going to be wrong. And I'll just suffer through it, and I'll take my consequences. Man, come on, that's nonsense. Repent of your sins, ask God's forgiveness, and go on and get busy for God. Get back to doing what God called you to do. The way that seems right to a man is to accept less, not allow ourselves to have complete forgiveness or restoration. It's some sick, vain attempt to try and punish ourselves. Man, that's sadistic. Quit punishing yourself. If God don't condemn you, why are you going to condemn yourself? There's nothing wrong with feeling conviction. I pray to God I never stop feeling conviction. I don't want to have a conscience, as the scripture says, that's seared with a hot iron that can't is past feeling anymore. I don't want that. But I'm not going to beat myself into the ground where I can't be effective for the kingdom. And nobody likes being around somebody that's always down. Why should we always be down? You got the Holy Ghost? Huh? You been baptized in Jesus' name? You got plans on going to heaven one day? Then why are we always down? Let me tell you, today, believe that you are still his beloved child. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. The love of God is greater. Come on, somebody. And the Bible's true, and love shall cover a multitude of sin. Come on, somebody. His love is still greater than any sin. It's greater than the effect of it. It's greater than any amount of it. His love is greater, and it still covers a multitude of sin. So just go on and accept it. Quit saying, oh, no, I can only be a servant. God will prove you wrong every time. And you may not hear it, but his word will prove you wrong every time. So I don't want to go around just feeling sorry for myself when I could be restored, when I could be renewed. It seems right to take the back seat, be less than what God called you to be. There's a lot of great men and women of God that have not ministered for years because they took themselves out, or somebody else, God forbid, but somebody else told them, you're not worthy to do that anymore. Not my place, not your place. Mm-mm. I'll let God handle that. If God calls somebody to it and they make a mistake, they can repent and get right with God. He can create a clean heart in them and a right spirit within them, and they can still. People may have a hard time hearing them because, well, I know their past. I'm sure a lot of people had a hard time with David, as we said in the first service, had a hard time with David because of what he did. But he was still. Didn't matter if they had a hard time. Still the king. Still had the authority of the king. Didn't lose any authority as king. Still the king. And we do injure our walk. We hurt our reputation. We hurt our standing. And it's hard to get that back sometimes. But God will make, the Bible says your gift will make room for you. Maybe you can't go back to where you were at one time right away because of the hurt and the injury, but God's gift will make room. He didn't take the gift away. He wants you to have all of the gifting that he gave you. Quit trying to take yourself out. It's easy, and it seems right sometimes, to just believe the voices of those who judge you. And then to close out the voice that matters and declares your restoration. The way that seems right to you will keep you from the full effects of God's mercy and grace. But it's not his will that any perish, but that all come to repentance. Because our ways end in death, while Jesus offers us life. Oh, God, prove me wrong. There's a song that that I listen to a lot. And it's, the name of it is You Prove Me Wrong. And it says, one line of it says, God, you see the me that no one sees. If when that boy came to that road, maybe he came over a rise or came around the bend, said the Father saw him far off. Maybe to some people they thought, oh, looks like some beggar, some vagabond coming down the road. But the Father saw him a great way off. He knows the moment that your heart turns back to him. You might feel like I'm so far away from where I was, but the moment your heart says I'm going back, God's ready to race and meet you. And, whoo, hallelujah. And when that son came over that rise or came around the bend, it said the Father, He left what he was doing. He's the man of the house. He's the owner of the house. He's the ruler of the house. And he's not letting anybody else. He runs out to find his son. He runs out and that son, he's got it rehearsed. He's got it prepared. Father, I've sinned against you and in your sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son, and just let me be a servant. He's making all the excuses, and the Father falls on him. He falls on that emaciated body. He's been starving. He smells like the hog pen, the mud and the mess and the animals. It's all over him. His clothes are ragged. His hair is matted. His eyes are sunken and hollow. I'm sure he hasn't bathed and he hasn't washed. He has no shoes on his feet. He looks rough. And Father, no, you don't know where I've been. He don't care. In his clean clothes, in the clothing, in the robes that state to who he is, he falls on his son and wraps his arms around him and begins to weep on his son. And then he said, now I got something to say. I've heard your excuses, but here's my answer. Bring him the best robe. Bring him some shoes for his feet. Bring him my ring for his finger, and now go kill the fatted calf. He didn't say go kill a fatted calf. He said kill the fatted calf. I think from the time the son left, the father started, he said, separate this one and start feeding him. God's getting ready for your return. They knew exactly which one to go to. They said, which one you want us to get? They knew exactly which one was the fatted calf. Because they've been feeding it for months. They've been feeding it for a year. They've been getting it ready for this return. The Father is awaiting your return. And you can't come back begging to be something less than God made you. You can't come back being something less that God intends you to be. God's preparing for your return. He sees you coming. When your heart turned and said, I need to come back. When your heart turned and said, I got to get back to the house of the Lord. He said, I'm ready. And I've got everything that you need. I've got all you've got to have for your restoration. Would you just let God prove you wrong? You are worthy to still minister in the house of the Lord. You are still worthy to pray with people. You are still worthy to teach that Bible study. You're still worthy to do it. Nobody can take that away from you. Hallelujah. Oh, but if you keep going in the way that you think is right, it will stop that restorative power cold in its tracks, and you will die. Just like the proverb said, it will end in death. You'll die spiritually. You'll die emotionally. You'll die socially. You'll just be a shell of who you could be. You don't have to be right this time. Let God prove you wrong. He sees the you that nobody else sees. Others look at you and say, "Ooh, I can tell they've been living rough." But God sees the you that nobody else sees. Oh, I promise you that when I came into the house of God, nobody said, "Wow, man, here comes a future pastor." They probably said, "Let's keep a little bit of distance from that guy. Don't know, ain't too sure about that mohawk and that lightning earring. Not too sure about that. Let's keep a little distance from him." But God saw in me what nobody else could see. I sure didn't see it. I just came and was sitting on the pew. I thought that's all there was, until he got a hold of me and he let me know, "Oh no, son, there's more for you. There's more for you." You let God prove you wrong. You don't have to be right every time. This time, just listen to the voice of the Lord. Take what God's got for you. If there's three things I want you to learn from this today. Number one, you can go home. Number two, you are loved. And number three, you can be restored. And if you're so unworthy, then why is he watching for your return? If he don't care, if he's done with you, why is he watching intently in that bend in the road? Why is he watching for that return? Why is there a calf waiting in the stall? Why does he run to meet you instead of having you crawl back all the way to the house begging for mercy? Why does he show you the same exact love as he did when you were with him? It's because he wants you to have the best when you have done your worst. Bring forth the best robe. Hey, he's kind of dirty. Just, hey, you know that robe I wear when we're feeding sheep? Go get that one. Go into my closet. Get that long, colorful silk, I don't know, whatever, finest material, the one with the gold stitching on it, and go get that one. Now, you know what? He's dirty. Go get that white one. He's muddy. Go get the white one. He's dirty. Go get the white one. I want him to look so opposite of the way he looks now. I'm going to wrap this robe around him, and nobody will even be able to see the mud and the dirt. We're going to cover up his feet are rough, and they're torn where he's been walking, but we're going to cover that up too. We're going to cover up all those things so people can't talk about the places he's walked. And then I'm going to put that ring on his finger. I'm going to let him know, so everybody, I know who he is, but I want other people to know he's my son. This is my signet. This is my ring. I want everybody to know he's family, because that's what he told him. He said, "For this is my son." But I just wanted to be a servant. This is my son. This is my son. This is my son. Hey, world, this is my son. And I'm going to restore him. I'm going to give him back the best. And if you just have to insist on a label, then let it be this: I'm his son, and I'm alive. Praise God. If you're going to have to just keep a label, let it be that. I'm his son. You can come to the music. Oh, no, I'm not very long today. Let's stand together. I talked about it. Like I say, both of these lessons and messages have just gone hand in hand today. The greatest miracle is when God proves you wrong. Oh, if I could see blinded eyes opening, that'd be great, but would it save you? I wish I could see the dead raised. Well, that'd be great, but would it get you back right with God? We see miraculous stuff every day of the week, stuff that in this world today, people doing all kind of incredible things. And so we get numb to stuff like that. We see miracle signs and wonders. People, wow, that was great. Praise God. And then they just go on their way. But it's when God gets right down home with you. When you know you can't deny, there's no hiding. Prodigal couldn't hide the shape he was in. He went out full, he came back empty. He went out with all this money, all this stuff. Maybe he had two or three beasts of burdens carrying his stuff with him going. But he walked back with nothing, starving, empty, probably sores and scabs on his body. I picture him the worst way I could possibly picture him. Because the Bible says that he had wasted himself with riotous living. And when you live like that, it takes a toll. It's obvious. People see it. The greatest miracle you'll ever see is when God begins to restore somebody. And when God gets down next to you and says, I know you feel broke, but I can work with that. I know you feel worthless, but I can work with that. I know you feel like you have no hope, but I can fix that. When God just gets right next to you where you feel it inside and he's telling you, I know what your mind is saying, but I'm telling you, I can fix that. I know right now that people even in this room right now, that your flesh is saying, run, go, get out of here. And the Father's saying, no, run to me, come to me, prove them wrong. Prove your flesh wrong. Prove this world wrong. Let God prove you wrong and be restored in this house today.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.